The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The text is today's Holy Gospel. Please stay tuned. During my years at the Lutheran Hour, I came to appreciate sound bites. Obviously, the media does sound bites, but it's not only the media that needs sound bites. Busy politicians, busy government people, busy businessmen, busy people don't have time for long dissertations. They need accurate information in small, succinct packages. But we who are theologically trained are wary of sound bites. Oh, there is so much more that needs to be talked about. True enough. But it comes down to the fact that busy people often need accurate information in those small, succinct packages we call sound bites. In today's gospel and in the surrounding context, Jesus suggests, at least to me, one soundbite that is certainly not popular in our culture and is not as popular as it used to be, even in the church. And that is the soundbite of obedience. The soundbite of obedience. Now, this may sound strange, but obedience actually frees you. Obedience means that we acknowledge that we are in a community, and because we are in community, we have mutual relationships for our common good. And so the posture of obedience frees you, and it frees me, from the anarchy of individualism. I'll give you an example. The self-centered individualist who decides that he or she can ignore traffic laws puts himself and other people in danger. On the other hand, the driver who recognizes that he or she is part of community understands that obedience to traffic laws are for our good and the good of other people. Give you another example. The student who only wants to study what he or she wants to study and just out of hand dismisses other subjects, other classes, and other assignments that are not interesting to me does not have a sense of community, but rather individualism, and that individualism actually weakens the community in which the student is. Many other examples. It comes down to this, that our American culture is just breaking down, collapsing, with millions and millions and millions of individualists. People who acknowledge that we are in community, there are various communities that we are all in, but when we acknowledge that we are people who are placed in a community, then we are actually free of the anarchy of individualism. We are free from the anarchy of individualism, and we are freed for, in our community, the reception of God's love. You and I are not in the community of Christ because we made some individual decision to do so. Jesus says in John chapter 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And in this community, We are obedient to the word of Christ because we know, as obedient children should know, that why our very life depends upon it. Jesus says in John chapter 6, "My words are spirit and they are life." We are humbly dependent as children upon his words of forgiveness, his words of faith, his words of hope, his words of admonition, his words of encouragement. Just totally dependent upon his words, obedient to his words, because we know without that word, we have nothing except the harm that we as individuals would certainly do to ourselves. So today's gospel says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." So in this community of Christ, we are obedient to this word because of the work of the Holy Spirit who brings the word to our remembrance time and time again. We are obedient students of the scriptures in and out of the classroom, always submitting ourselves by the work of the Spirit to the lessons that are taught to us by sacred scripture. We are obedient as a community and come to hear and reflect and meditate upon the word preached in chapel. We are obedient to the word as we share it with one another in mutual and often casual conversations, always centering ourselves upon the fact that without the word, without the spirit and life at work in the world, we're simply left to destructive individualism. Now, this obedience shows itself in all sorts of ways. It shows itself in preparing and listening to lectures. It shows itself in writing and reading long dissertations. It shows itself in all the academic things we do. But it also comes down, getting back to my opening lines, it comes down also to the sound bites that we share with one another in many ways, in various times, often with very telling results. And one of the things that we share soundbite-wise is our obedience to this life-giving, saving, we absolutely need to have it, Word of God. One of the soundbites that shows this obedience comes from St. Peter. You sang it before. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." It's a soundbite. It's a great soundbite. And it talks about our obedience to the revealed truths of Holy Scripture. Now, out of that, out of our communal sense of obedience to these words of Jesus for our own good, there come a lot of other relationships, a lot of other instruction for how we are to deal with one another. And today, we want to focus on one of those arrangements that the loving Heavenly Father has provided for us for our good in community, and that is the fourth commandment: "Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, we understand that obedience in the family setting is one of the ways by which God just pours out his love on parents and children. But let me read to you that it is more than just that, quoting now from the Large Catechism. Dr. Luther writes, "We have three kinds of fathers presented in this commandment: fathers by blood, fathers of a household, and fathers of the nation. Besides these, there are also spiritual fathers. The name spiritual father belongs to those who govern and guide us by the word of God. They are entitled to honor, even above all others. There is need to impress upon the common people that they who would bear the name of Christian owe it to God to show double honor to those who watch over their souls and to treat them well and make provision for them. Because God loves us and has brought us into the community of Christ, we give the sound bites of honor to you who are here assembled. The soundbite of saying, we honor you, members of the staff, for all the various ways by which the love of God has come to this community. We honor you, the members of the faculty who are observing significant anniversaries, because through you and your stewardship of the word of Christ, the Father's love has come to us. And we especially honor you, Dr. Warnick and Dr. Feuerhahn, as our spiritual brothers and fathers, through whom, to fellow faculty members, to staff, to students for so many, many, many years who are out there doing the work of ministry, through your humble, obedient service to your calls, the love of God has come into so many, many lives. And we do the soundbite thing in many ways. And I'm just saying, on behalf of all of us, the soundbite of our deep, deep, deep thanks and honor to you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So I ask you, in the times to come, to think about the despised, little soundbites of obedience. Because those little soundbites of obedience, however they come out, whatever the formulation is, however articulate or inarticulate, however we express those soundbites of obedience, we are reflecting something about the community in which we are receiving the love of God, and we are countering the anarchy of individualism. Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.